September 12th, 2004. It's a Watt from Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show, September 12, 2004 edition. That was Rocky Erickson with his band he had in the 60s, the 13th Floor Elevators, doing Roller Coaster. Before that, we started out with John Coltrane and Sonship from the album Sonship. This is my last show for quite a while because I'm going on tour with the Second Men. 9 weeks across the U.S. and Canada. So, Brother Matt, you got to hold the fort.
How many shows and how many days?
65 gigs, 66 days.
Damn.
And we have another P-Droid at the Love Grotto here joining us. Nanny, Roland.
Hi.
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 Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Nanny goes back to the old days. When did you meet D. Boone?
Oh, at Jack in the Box. I met him at Jack in the Box let me see, 79.
You guys worked together.
Yeah, we worked together. He was a Jack in the Box employee. He also worked at the Catalina ticketing terminal.
Right, and who else worked at the terminal?
You did.
And who else?
And Lisa.
Your sister?
Yeah, my sister.
And what's the story?
Oh, because she would talk about Dennis, and I would talk about Dennis, and we never knew he was the same guy until... until the
right,
day.
Right, the weird punk guy?
It was weird, yeah. And we would talk about this weird punk guy and play his music. And then my sister would talk about this weird punk guy. And we didn't know it was Dennis until we met. I went with the terminal to meet him, and it was the guy I knew from Jack in the Box. It was crazy.
And who was the other weird punk guy?
Michael Watt was the other weird punk guy. Weirder punk guy. Okay.
So it was a trip. Awesome. They found out they were talking about the same people.
It was kind of weird.
And then you guys became some of the first punk girls.
Yes, that's people. Right. Yeah. And then we were thrown out of our house because of it. Yes. Tossed onto the streets. And yeah, I remember that, yes. And then 5 years of college later. And Jack in the Box. And college.
Does Western Jack in the Box?
No, the 6th and Gaffey.
6th Street. Between 6th and 7th Street. Still
yeah.
There. Me and D. Boone made $1.65 an hour. Big time. Graveyards.
Uh-huh.
11 to 7. But he also worked during the day with you.
Yeah, he did.
Because by that time, I had gone to just... parking lot and hospital.
Yeah.
Kitchen. Pot and pan boy.
So you were doing all three for a while and
yeah.
Like worked 24 hours basically for a while, from what I understand.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's how I gave myself pneumonia. Almost died.
Yeah, five years at the hospital cook
right.
Boy, so was I, five at Jack in the Box.
So you saw a lot of early Minutemen gigs.
The very first ones. I was there. It's very exciting. I saw as they, moved up through.
You saw us through the whole dealio.
Yeah. And then Black Flag. And
what was it like to see D. Boone play?
It was great. He's a very exciting performer. He was quite the showman. I thought he was great, you know. He could really play guitar. It was fabulous. I remember he came to my house when my little sister was way younger, and he picked up this Spanish guitar that we had there.
Not Lisa, but who?
Julie, yeah. And he played the Who song, the Pinball Wizard, with all the strumming on the Spanish guitar. And it was, she just stood there. She was in shock. She's never seen that done like that. And it was really great. Yeah. It was fab. So yeah, he was really good. He was a great performer. I've always liked his.
And for a while, for a little time, he lived with Lise and Ken Starkey.
Yes, in La Mita, in that La Mita house.
That was a sweaty pit.
Oh, God. It was awful. Yeah, it was.
Like
he had this big fish tank, too, so it added this humidity to the room. It was like already this. It was damp in there to begin with. It had this musty smell about it that was just like very unique, needless to say. And, they lived there, all three of them. It was a small place, too. Slept on the couch, I think Dennis did. And there was animals and stuff they had.
D. Boone was a painter.
Yeah. He was an artist.
Because you're a painter.
Yes, I'm a painter.
And, in fact, while you were going to, while you were working at Jack, you were going to college. You got a degree in art, right?
Yes, I have my Bachelor's of Fine Art degree from Long
Beach
State.
State.
Yes, 85 I graduated. It was pretty cool. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I was the only punk rocker at Long Beach State at the time. So I was singled out and harassed constantly. It was horrible. It was horrible.
I know people talk about the good old days.
Mm. Did you guys do any collaborative art?
No, we never did. No. But he would, you know, he did stuff and I would do stuff. He liked it. You know, because I was going to school, I was doing a lot of assignment type art. So it was like mostly, it wasn't really, when you have to perform like that on command, it's a lot different. You produce a lot of stuff that you weren't there for, okay, at the time. It was just mass produced for the final and you weren't really there while you were doing it, right? But, you know, so a lot of that art was like that, and I know that, you know, I would do my own art on the side because it was just too much to be constantly having to produce like that. So, you know, a lot of those little boxes I made, Dennis saw me making them. I was doing it at the house, remember?
Yeah.
So I was making them right in front of him, and, you know, he would comment and stuff, but, you know, we never really did anything together, I guess.
No.
No.
But he did a lot of painting on his own.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it was great.
You got a couple of them.
Right, yeah. You get the album covers. Brother Matt's got the paintings that were made into album covers.
You have the actual paintings.
You got the Project Merge, and I got the King Crimson disc.
Right, the disc. Right. That's a great. I remember him painting that, going over there, watching him do that. It was great. Yeah. It was great. He had that almost like that style where the paint's built up on the surface, like Van Gogh. Yeah, the Van Gogh thing. It was cool.
I wrote his name on the temple of the Burning Man the other day.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh,
That's great.
Yeah, it is.
Graffiti in there.
Yeah.
He used to play kind of trebly, huh?
Hot, yeah. Oh, really twangy. It wasn't the amp that was doing it. A tube.
Yeah, he would
use that little tiny. Yeah, he would use
that.
Make it
that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's trembly. I liked it, though. Yeah, he had that. It was really good. It was amazing how he could
bounce.
Yeah.
And jump.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. It was very agile. I know. I remember he had the dancing shoes for a while, those patent leather shoes. That was great. I remember the cutoff shorts, the patent leather shorts. Remember the cutoff shorts with the army green smog pants?
Well, the layered look.
Yeah, and the cutoff shorts and the shoes.
Remember we played that gig at Cal Arts, and we had Halloween outfits, right?
Mm-hmm.
And his outfit, well, you helped me with mine, right? The Mr. Do,
yeah,
the clown.
Yeah.
And then you were like...
I don't know.
Wednesday.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yes. I had
And D. Boone had
I had the dress. I had this perfect Wednesday dress.
And a wig or something.
Yeah, yeah. It was a full Wednesday with the headless doll or something.
Yeah. And D. Boone had all these layers of green on. And he goes, guess what I am? And I go, I don't know, D. Boone. No, what am I? I said, I don't know. And he goes, an artichoke.
Oh my God.
Yeah, remember that? It was at Cal Arts.
Mm-hmm.
God. There was one guy who was naked and painted red.
Yeah, the devil man, remember? he would stand, people were sitting and he was standing like right behind you, you know, and you're sitting. So if you turn around, you're right there face to face with the devil man naked. It was horrible.
Yeah.
You come over and stand by all the women.
That was pretty sick.
That was a crazy place, that. Those art students.
Yeah. So, you saw a lot of Minuteman gigs.
Yeah, I think over 500. I knew a girl that kept a log. She kept of every show. And I counted 500 in it. So it was like a lot.
Did she write the playlist down?
No, she just wrote the date of the show and the location, right? But she started from the very beginning. You know, that Linda girl from SST.
The
slab girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she wrote everything down.
I haven't seen her for years.
I know. I don't even know what happened to her.
But, it was intense time.
It was. Quite.
And De Boone was very singular and unique in his way. He's a good treat to play with. Mm-hmm. Up there on stage, he'd get sweaty. We'd all get sweaty.
Yeah, the sweat, remember?
Yeah, it would rip out his pants. That's one reason for the layered look, right?
It was, yeah.
You'd just do another layer.
Wicking away.
Crotch rot thing. Okay, I'm going to play you something here from... Raymond Twinkle Twang here on the Watt from Pedro show.
I turn to goo when I'm in your arms. Oh, right there, that's the charm. I'll do you if you do my dough. You know I'm all yours to mold. I'm a doer and you're a doer. Together we're a donut holder. You make me feel so pastry. So flaky and confectionary. When you hit my middle a little, you play me just like a fiddle. Whenever you need my bread, it feels like you're making my bed. I'd gladly go back to the oven for another heaping helping of your loving. Now flip my flapjacks and griddle cakes. And turning is all it takes. My idea of heaven sends. Looking around raises me up so high I may never come down. Fill my yeast like poppy seeds. You fill your old spews. Just like you, Billy Goat. I'm coming down, so look out below. Dropping like a souffle, my bro. Coming down fast, like a skeleton. Wrap your pig in a poke and give me shelter. I'll rise in the east, I'll rise in the west, in the belly of the present. The high you get from brewer's yeast is a stone ground groove at the very least. It's the best rise that we can get. And the sun rises best in the west. Oh yes, the sun rises best in the west.
I don't know why.
Watt from Pedro Show. Oops. We don't have headphones, so it's hard for me to do the cue and all that. So it's a tough show. We had problems at the beginning with the hums. And Brother Matt was in Burning Man. You know about Burning Man, Nanny?
Yeah, it's big Burning Man, middle of the desert. I've heard about it. Yes, I haven't been to one. No.
What was this one like, Brother Matt?
35,000 people. I think that's the biggest so far. And it was mellow. It was really cool. We had a fun camp. We had a little art car stripper mobile. I had my friend Charlie Two Shoes remains. I put some of them up on the man. Some of them in the temple. So you got to get torched in grand fashion.
Cool.
And the weather wasn't too bad. Pretty killer dust storms for a few days earlier in the week. It totaled white out. Riding your bike, it was like riding the sand at the beach. It was so dusty because I guess it really didn't have much rain this year. But not too many arrests, so that's good. Although the cops were making their presence known when they did bust somebody.
Yeah.
Pretty cheesy. The cops got a camp now.
They're
trying to, like, you know, engage you in some criminal activity so they can bust you.
Oh, that's wow. Right.
Oh, entrapment, right?
Yeah.
You got, like, the place it sits on is, like, you got to deal with three different counties, plus the state and the feds. So.
Oh, wow. So why did they pick that place for it?
It's really a bitchin' place. Oh, yeah. It's like being on another planet. It's one of the flattest places on Earth.
Yeah.
You can see the curve of the Earth. It's so wild when the sun comes up, man. Mm-hmm. It's blinding. Mm-hmm. There in your face. It's insane.
Yeah. It's cool.
Is there an opera?
No opera anymore. They still have opera camp and opera meetings. But no opera. Still have drama, I guess. So.
Peppy,
he's been doing other stuff. He's been hanging out in India a lot, making movies. Not Bollywood type stuff, like documentaries. And then coming back, he learned how to edit on Mac. And been doing a film festival thing. So I guess he was in New York at that time.
Oh.
So, yeah, I don't think he's been there for a couple of years.
Because he was the main man behind the opera.
Yeah, he was the mind of the opera, yeah.
The opera meister.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy. So, he's shredding the phone right now.
Four fucking blocks with this thing.
Well, headphones have arrived. No,
what's up, dude? Hey, Pete.
Hi.
Well, we got more people in the love grotto here.
Four blocks.
Filipino Day kind of interfered with
the parking. The parking's hell. Yeah, there's a festival down at Point Firm.
It is.
Pete Mazich here, ready to go out on tour with Second Man, Fourth One. Right? We also got New Man with us. Where is he, pissing?
Being the doorman. Vanished.
I don't know.
Raul Morales.
Two shows get added out of 63 and 62 days.
Did you count them? Go to the hook page. There's one gig not listed there because it's a CMJ gig. But if you count them, you'll count 65. And won't be back till November 20th. Hopefully. We return whence we came. And I'm looking forward to it.
As am I. It'll be a good time. Me too. And if Pete's ready to go.
And we'll have Tor Spiel up on the Hoot page so you can follow us along as we sally forth. Pete, it's your fourth time.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I like it. I love it, in fact. I love it. I always felt from day one that it's like... it was never really strange to me or anything. It was like I'd done it all along, you know, and it was just kind of everything that I did kind of led up to that point to do that. So I couldn't say enough about it. I love the tour. I love the tour the way you do it, too.
The first two tours, only partials.
Yeah, because it'll work.
All right. Then the third time you actually got to do the whole dealio, but it was a little one. So this will be the first full-on where he does the whole baby. So the other ones he'd have to leave after 6 weeks. One time Tom Watson came and took over, and the other time Paul Rossler. But this time we get to have one consistent crew do the do. What's it like learning Roll the Piece?
It was hard.
I can't ask you that.
Well, you know what? Like I told him in the beginning, I was real worried about it because you know it's a lot of stuff, and it's not, you know, like you said, it's not Chuck Berry. So you know, it was a lot of material to digest in a short amount of time. But you know, like I was telling you today, just the fact going over it with him at my house when you were gone, and then you know the longer practice that we've been having. So I mean,
when I flew overseas to do the Stooges gigs, you guys were practicing.
Yeah, we were practicing in my pad. So I got all the countings, all the stuff that I was kind of using Jer as a crutch on, leaning on Jer. You know, it wasn't there anymore, so we had to piecemeal everything out and count it out, and you know, that helped me a lot personally, so it made me more comfortable to play it.
Yeah, I agree. Same with myself. You learn things when you teach them. Another one. That might be Vinny Vegas, right?
Headphones maybe here.
Maybe with the headphones so we can cue up records.
Sorry.
We haven't been able to cue up records this show because Brother Matt's headphones are with one of the Burning Man people.
On fire somewhere.
Who won't divest them back. Oh,
yeah.
Much respect to you.
No
problem. Vinny Vegas.
Day.
And we got a full house here at the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point. Yeah, this is happening.
You can just step on the table if you want a second.
Because Nanny, you bought some. Nanny, you brought some records, and we haven't been able to play them.
I did.
So that's kind of a convenient thing, huh?
Yeah.
Records, the radio show.
Hey, Pete. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
Right. Nice to meet you too.
You never met him.
Live on air too.
He's Pedro.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah, I think.
But you're not, right? You're from the hill.
Yeah. Transplant.
How long?
87. I came here.
Okay, so you've been here a little bit.
Yeah, 16 years.
Yeah. And you finally meet Mr. Mazich.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that works.
But you've seen the Second Man play, haven't you?
Yeah.
You didn't want to jump on stage and man hug him?
No, kind of feeling the love now.
You're showing.
It is a little warm.
Down the kickstand.
The show yet.
He's talking about experience of learning Roll the Piece. Maybe Roll, we should talk to you about this.
Talk to Vinny about it. I would wind to him every night.
Okay, switch seats.
Feel the practice. You know,
see that? Rotate. What are we talking about?
About me
learning all the songs and the stuff.
About the practice and stuff.
I just ask him about every other day. And he goes, we're on a percentage level. He's like, yeah, I'm about 65% right now. And last I spoke to him, he was about like the low 80s, mid 80s. And, I just, how you doing? Oh, pretty good. Some days he's a little frustrated.
I can't wait.
It's like, yeah, that's pretty good.
You know, the sports car scene, how many bands are associated with that?
Oh, tons of bands. Just bands from the house. I mean, there's probably been like 10 bands that have started in those houses.
Okay. And so the stuff you learned with us is pretty similar to what they're doing?
What'd you bring?
I'm playing the drums still. I'd say the counting is completely different. Like the measures, it's not in fours or sixes. I mean, it is. It's a lot of it's in sixes too, but a lot of three counts, five counts, stuff like that. The clave, that's completely different.
Yeah. So
Robo didn't teach me the clave.
So you think that maybe your experience with me and Pete might end up rubbing off on those folks?
Most definitely. How could it not?
Different degrees of separation.
Yeah. See, I see it, Devin. We played the other day. You were.
Hey, he thought I was noodling around. He said I couldn't concentrate.
No, his drum rolls were a lot tighter and snappier. And yeah, it was like he's doing one beat and then stop and going to something else. It's real sporadic.
Were you just doing a jam?
Yeah, we do that. We do it a couple whenever we feel like it. Whenever I get bored, Raul comes over and some couple beers. And, yeah. Plug in the guitars and crank them up.
You got any projects going, Vinny?
Well, kind of with Tony and Kevin. King Kevin and Tony from 4th Street. This is my first one in a couple, almost 2 years, about a year and a half.
Now we recorded the songs like half a year ago.
Yeah, but we didn't do anything with that. But we're going to, me, King Kevin and Tony are going to do a little band. And our goal is to play like Harold's and Walker's, like parties and bars. Yeah, we don't want
to. Well, you know, there's a big hole in the wedding scene now. Croatian weddings and shit.
Might try to get into that. We'll learn some Croatian.
What about the brewery?
Yeah, you know. Harold's. Sure, if they asked us. I mean, Harold's is just kind of like, you know.
There's bands playing there, right?
Really? Yeah, pretty frequently.
I heard that pretty soon Sacred Grounds is bailing from that locale and going next to the Warner Theater.
I heard that for a while, but I don't know what's going on with that.
That's
going
to be some stoppage with gigs.
Yeah, it's going to suck kind of because they pay the bands good, and it's a good place for underage kids to go see music.
Yeah. And Pedro.
Yeah, you know.
What about Marty and...
just spoke to him.
La Zona Rosa, are they still going to do gigs?
I just spoke to him on my way down. He asked No Comprende to do a reunion show in Aggression. Trying to do a cheap show, $5 all ages thing. But
is it the old Aggression?
Aggression. But Craig didn't want to do it. And I feel good. I've been losing some weight. I could fit back into the G-string.
You're the bass player, too.
Exactly.
No Comprende.
Yeah. He called me a bass trader when I started playing guitar.
Oh, wow.
That happened a lot, too. Well, Chris Lopshaw, too.
That seems to happen a lot. They get their own band.
Two more strings.
Get off on the bass.
But, yeah, I was looking forward. I really wanted to do it, you know. But, hey, really. Because, you know the songs. It's like, yeah, do three practices, play a show. And just, you know, more fun, less work.
Craig said no.
Craig said, like...
What was his reasons?
You know, I don't know, but I talked to him last night. He's just like, come on, do you want to do it? He's just like, no. No.
He's been helping out a lot with the skate park.
Yeah, he organizes some shows and stuff.
The benefit shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And,
He doesn't do any concrete work, though.
No. A lot of it's done now, though. I saw it.
Some movies or some film crew shooting there.
McDonald's shot a commercial there. They gave him $750 donation for a skate park.
Oh, great. Oh,
cool.
Great for the donation, lame for the...
Yeah, they should have got a lot more money.
Yeah.
The way we've just done it there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even really anyone's property. Caltrans's property. Right. They could have paid.
Yeah, but it's somewhere for the kids to skate. That's happened.
I got a little bit of the concrete work down there. It's some kind of...
Barman's got this zine called The Rise in the Fall. You've written for it?
A little bit, yeah. Some taco trucks, some band interviews. I'm doing a...
You did a review of taco trucks?
I'm doing a part two of the taco trucks. Yeah. There's another one down by the Home Depot.
That's right.
Jalisco's has moved around a little bit. So I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do some story about the skate park in Long Beach. This is real ghetto.
There's a Long Beach
park. It's like, yeah, it's a real super janky ghetto skate park. And there's like these bums. There's dudes selling, slinging, like what I would imagine to be crack rocks, you know, there. By the way, they're looking at you, you know, like you buy it. And there's people bums sleeping next to their shopping carts. And I already got the photos. I got cops shaking some dude down. And so it should be interesting. I hope the photos turn out good. I got to get them developed.
Yeah, are you going to... maybe branch out from taco trucks?
From taco trucks?
I mean, on the Comidas trip, are you going to, like, get an Elmer Dills thing going?
Yeah, I don't know. I did think about doing the Mexican restaurant. Like, there's so many Mexican restaurants that would give me 2 years.
Yeah, I got years off of Burrito Day, man.
So, the food thing? No, I don't know. The Elmer Dill thing's all not my deal. I don't know.
You wouldn't like.
Write stories about me or what I'm involved in, part of, you know.
You wouldn't like it if people asked you to rate chow pads by you putting the chow in your word
down.
Hole.
I'd be down.
All right.
Yeah, I'd be totally be down. You'd probably get a good meal. You know.
What about Elmer? How many years?
He's probably I know, he's shot. Looking ancient. Good, huh? Did you see him?
Yeah, no, yeah. He's and he's shoveling.
Yeah.
Okay. Something to think about.
Yeah.
So,
three movies last night.
What are you going to do when Raul's gone?
When Raul's gone? I don't know, man. You
going to still jam?
Yeah, me and
Kevin
and
Tony?
Yeah, exactly. I've been motivated lately. So it's pretty, I'm into it.
Who's your favorite Pedro band right now?
My favorite Pedro band. Okay.
Not going here.
Oh dear, God, this song's playing. There's you guys, you know, the Second Man. There's Killer Dreamer. Truly, Killer Dreamer and the Second Man are two of my favorites. I think Killer Dreamer puts a better live show on than what is put across on their record. It's more intense, like chaotic wise. So those two bands.
What about all them great bands that play at Furman during the summer?
What? The Wings?
Yeah.
Why are people laughing?
They're having Filipino jive over there right now.
Because it's like they'll probably blow out like a prac form. You know? Yeah. They just keep practicing.
I bet you the Filipino bands blow away those bands that are usually playing it.
The Rolling Blackouts are good bands too.
Yeah.
Oh, you know
but why aren't any of those bands playing those outdoor things at Furman
covers.
In the summer? During the summer. Why is it the same old tire?
What it is, I don't know.
You think it's Connects?
Guaranteed.
And Laziness.
I like Drink is Purgatory is another new band that's pretty good.
Pedro?
Troy was living at 4th Street, but they're probably Anaheim.
Right. OC band?
Yeah. So, yeah, they're really good.
What about four-letter words? Are they back in Orange County?
Band. He's our amazing Killer Dreamer. They haven't played them in neighborhood.
Yeah, but some of those guys are Orange County.
Yeah.
They're doing a reunion show coming up soon.
One time I played with them in Texas.
Yeah.
And I saw them driving on the way home.
I saw the picture of you. Yeah. They snapped a picture of you in your van. And you're doing like some fist. You're like driving. You're like, you know, it's a ride on.
What a coincidence.
Kevin's got that in his, we're going to Dodger game, and he's all, look at this picture. I'm like, what's what? Cool. And he's like, yeah, that's in Arizona coming home or going out to. Or,
you know, it was a trip. We had Tony Platton on the show a few weeks ago, and he jammed with Brother Matt.
Dude, I was here. He shredded.
Yeah, that's right.
And I told Tony, man, I go, wow, man, either you're really good or you got really lucky, you know, because Tony was like fast. I was like, this is dexterous. Chunky little fingers getting down.
I think that's the first time Tone played in front of anybody.
Yeah.
Wow. He's never done a gig.
Wow. Yeah.
Whoa. Never been in a band.
Yeah.
20 guitars.
You know, D. Boone taught him.
Yeah.
How was the Joe Boone show last week, 2 weeks ago?
No. We haven't had one with him yet.
No, didn't you go to some show to see him play somewhere?
Joe Boone? Yeah. Oh, John Boone hasn't been in a band.
I thought you said
it was a long time. I think since we were boys and playing in the bedroom. I don't think you were even born yet.
No. That's a lot.
That's no boom rock. Or twinkling Papa's eye rock.
Papa's drunk ass.
Papa's bleary eye. Bleary eye, drive me home. Drive me drunk, I'm home.
Drunk is good eye,
Rob. No, but we're going to have Joe Boone come on the show.
Cool.
When he finds time. He's went back to school. He's almost got a degree.
Cool. Now that is.
Older guy's doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, my sister just got her degree, 44 years old.
That's proper.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. She wants to teach kids.
I've been plugging away at one too, actually.
See?
Relatively close. Actually, next year I could teach trade school if I want.
Cool.
Because my job that I've been at for 15 years is not as secure as we thought it was. I'm all right, but I don't need that kind of stress, man.
Like the cover of that Pete Townsend record, Who Came First?
Mm.
He's got the big combat boots and he's standing on eggs.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty indicative of the situation.
Yeah, that's my one.
Also, much. No, I mean, just the human condition, period. We think we got a handle on it, but it's all so tenuous. Any moment, snap,
crackle,
pop. Okay, we're coming to the end of the first hour on the September 12th, 2004 Watt from Pedro show. The second hour, Mr. Pete Mazich is going to collaborate with Brother Matt on a spin cycle. The Return from Burning Man spin session. Well, there's some stuff here.
Yeah, we got that.
We got some rack mount.
Digging through the backstage stuff.
Yeah. Get up some beats and Pete.
Yeah,
well, all right. Now that thing took some weight, some heft, right?
Oh yeah.
How many blocks?
Four.
Yeah.
About 70 pounds.
How many blocks back?
Character builder.
Yep.
No, on the way back he gets the back car, breaker. Drives it up.
Yeah. Right? Takes it out of the door.
Either by the door, bring the car.
Actually, I feel pretty good now, so maybe I'll just walk it back.
Yeah. Or a little head balance dealio.
Well, you know, got to pump. Well, you know, the old ladies in Croatia, they used to put like 40, 50 gallons of water on their heads, man. And all they had was like a little rag. And I used to, you could still see them when I was over there on vacation. They'd like put a little rag up on the top of their head, and then they'd lift this shit up and walk for, you know, half mile, miles.
Wow. Good for posture.
Insane, man.
Wow.
So strong necks.
Endeavor.
Get head butted by one.
Yeah, be safe.
Could you turn the heat up a little bit?
Yeah. Okay, so hold tight for hour two. September 12th, 2004. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show.
see if we can get a little church feeling going on. I want everybody to get about games. We're going to really load up here, y'all. Everybody feel like they want to be too. Come on, a little bit. Everybody.
about that. That was She's Hit from the birthday party. Before that, we had gotta move that paper there. Here we go. We had You and Your Folks, Me and My Folks, Live Funkadelic from 1971. Now we got Brother Matt here. Well, Nanny, you pick birthday party.
Another one?
Right?
Yeah, I did.
And,
well, not.
We saw them, right? Live.
Yes, we saw them at the Roxy.
It was pretty intense.
It was.
Didn't look too healthy, though. Huh?
No, he's real sweaty. It's fabulous.
Except the bass player, Tracy P, looked healthy.
Yeah.
He was grinding it.
Yeah.
It's a difficult show for us with the equipment.
Yeah, we're like stringing it all together with backup parts and borrowed headphones.
And now we can't get this turntable. But we got one turntable, and we do have CD players. So, Brother Matt, you want to try and do it?
We'll give it a try. Here we go. Keep the fingers crossed.
And Mr. T on the organ.
Yes.
Baby, baby,
that they're dead, although they appear to be dead. Dead.
Zombies. Perhaps they came up with it, but they've stumbled across a way of doing what I've tried to do.
Jenny Iron Boy.
Yeah.
Okay, blacksmith on the neck. Ready?
Nah, it's too slow, buddy. Too slow. You're not feeling the fist. 1, 2. 1, 2, 3, 4. Black snake, diamond rock. Twists away across the floor. Trails away like mercury. Have you ever seen her? Between her, she's a goddess. You'll pay double just to be her candlestick. Black snake, diamond rock, coming hard, watch it shine. Have you seen a sucker crocus? Have you seen a licking eyeball?
Turnstile and 2 flights down the iron stairs, catching up down A train. Young, good looking crew cut, Ivy League advertising exec type fruit holds the door back for me. I'm evidently his idea of a character. You know the type comes on with bartenders and cab drivers talking about right hooks and the Dodgers. Call the counterman in Needix by his first name. A real soul. And right on time, this narcotic stick in a white trench coat. Imagine tailing somebody in a white trench coat, trying to pass as a fag, I guess, hit the platform. I can hear the way he would say it, holding my outfit in his left hand, right hand on his piece. I think you dropped something, fella. But the subway is moving. So long, Flatfoot, I yell, giving the fruit his bee production. I look into the fruit's eyes, take in the white teeth, the Florida tan, the $200 shark skin suit, the button-down Brooks Brothers shirt, and carrying the news as a prop. The only thing I read is little Amner. The square wants to come on him. Talks about Pod smoking now and then and keeps him around to offer the fast Hollywood types. Thanks, kid, I say. I can see you're one of our own. His face lights up like a pinball machine with stupid pink affect. Ever see a hot shot hit, kid? I saw the gimp catch one in Philly. We rigged his room with a one-way whorehouse mirror and charged a Sosky to watch it. He never got the needle out of his arm. They don't if the shot is right. That's the way they find them, dropper full of clotted blood hanging out of a blue arm. The look in his eyes when I hit kid, it was tasty.
Thank you, Uncle Bill, William S. Burroughs, with an excerpt from Naked Lunch. Before that, we had Soft Boys and Black Snake Diamond Rock. Nana, you picked that one. Did you ever get to see them?
Yeah.
Robin Hitchcock?
Yeah, I saw them.
Did you ever see Soft Boys?
I saw them play Soft Boys songs. Saw him play Soft Boys songs the last time he played here. I don't know, it was like 2 years ago. But he played the Soft Boys songs.
And before that, Brother Matt, Pete Mazich, collaborating on a spin cycle.
Well, dang, that's cool.
That's pretty wild.
A little unsettling for me at points.
What was wrong with your machine?
It was missing keys and shit on it. That was, you know, left over for one of our tours.
Oh, yeah, we used that.
You took that on tour?
Didn't. We used that. The first time Pete went out with us, he used that.
Both of my synthesizers.
Yeah. He went through some module that was supposed to fake a Leslie.
Nah, I haven't. Yeah, it wasn't happening.
Here, get over on the mic, Sailor. What was
they're
it?
Not I said they're not really made.
What was it called?
For the rigors of the road. Or at least are.
What was it called? Velox?
That was a Voce.
Voce.
Well, the Voce was good. It was the key, you know, it was the keyboard that was messed up.
Okay. Yeah.
How many keyboards and organs you got in your quiver now?
You just finished one, right?
Yeah, that's my second shot. I got five of them. And, you know, pianos and synthesizers and basses and crap. It's quite a packed house up there.
What's the latest project? You just rebuilt one.
Yeah, this guy from Long Beach that I used to play with, his name was Chris Hanlon. He played in a band that I played in called Bourbon Jones over there. And somebody had given him an organ that had fallen off of a truck on the freeway. And he brought it to me. It was basically a pile of parts, but, you know, as a testament to their build quality, when I plugged it in, it worked. And it was still missing a couple of tones, so I had to do some open-heart surgery on that thing. But it's working now, almost. There's just one part that's nagging me. I'll take care of that when I get back from tour.
What, the volume pedal?
Yeah, the volume pedal.
It's backwards.
Yeah, it's backwards, and then I put it, and then I wired it backwards, so it worked, but now I'm getting some kind of DC voltage across the potentiometer, so it's going on the bottom.
It's some click, click.
Yeah. So, put a cap across that or whatever, but now we got to get ready for the tour, so I'm going to just...
Put it on hold. Shelf that. Right? Shelf it. Yeah. What's it like jamming with Brother Matt?
I dug on it, except like I said, you know, well, I can't blame the keys, you know, floor carpenter blames his tools. So I did what I did what I could without whining too much about it.
Don't need any whining.
Well, yeah, I know, but you can testify to the fact that when you got a piece of shit, you got to deal with it.
Yeah,
you're in England. So.
Can't polish a turd.
Right. Unless you freeze it.
Unless you freeze it first. Then it shines up real nice. Yeah. Ooh. Look at you. Look at that. You could really shine that up there. Now go get the fucking shine box.
I remember you.
I remember you.
Used to shine my shoes up to a polish.
To a luster.
A luster.
A luster. Coming up the end of the second hour of the September 12th, 2004 edition Watt for Pedro show. Hang tight for hour three. September 12th, 2004. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show. Here's part four, the conclusion of Dreams of the Blue Morpho.
Well, Amy was with Nina all day, just like she said.
Yeah, so where does that leave us?
Did you notice how the light was different?
When?
When we were at the plantation. Did you see the way it was pulsating?
Yeah. So?
Have you seen it do that before?
No, not in the same way. But why?
Because the light is changing.
You mean like changing into other people?
Well, if you see two mojos walking around, will you let me know?
Sure, if I know which one is you.
Late that afternoon, Jack and Nina sit in silence, watching the sun set over the Pacific.
Nina?
Yes, Jack?
Isn't there something else that old woman said to you?
Doña Fernandez? She said a lot of things. Why?
Well, you know that I saw someone who looked exactly like Amy.
I know.
Well, did Doña Fernandez ever say anything about Amy's light fandango? I mean, can it change into a person?
She didn't say.
Maybe she said a person can change into a light?
No, she said Amy has a reflection.
You mean Amy has a double?
I don't know.
Well, why didn't you tell us this before?
I thought it was too weird.
Nina, don't you think that seeing a light hovering over Amy's shoulder, as we've all seen, I mean, don't you think that that is a little weird?
Back off, okay?
I'm sorry. Look, if that was Amy's double I saw, I just don't know what the hell we've got here.
Can the light really look like Amy?
I wonder.
Do you believe that?
Oh, no. I was thinking of something else. I think I need to know more about her parents.
Neither one is alive.
Yeah, but there may be someone who remembers her. When she lived in Costa Rica, I mean. Someone who knew her father. And especially her mother.
Why especially her mother?
Because she left right after Amy was born. Why did she leave? Why didn't she take Amy with her? We don't know anything about her mother, do we?
No.
So maybe we can fill in a few blanks. Will you help?
Of course.
It's a quiet night at Senor Frog's. In the background, we can hear Mojo doing his thing, tickling those plastic ivories.
Jack? Don't give up on me.
Amy, what do you remember about your father?
Well, he was kind to me. He took care of me. What do you want to know?
Well, what about his friends? I mean, when you were living in Costa Rica, who were your father's friends?
The only ones I remember were company people, you know, the banana people, but I don't know who they were.
What about at home? You must have had servants.
Of course.
Was there anyone that you were particularly close to?
There was Maria and Jose.
Yeah.
They were there as long as I can remember.
Well, do you know where they are now?
Maria passed on years ago.
Oh.
And back then, Jose was getting on.
Well, did they have a family?
Well, they had a boy around my age, and sometimes they'd bring him... No. No, wait a minute. They They had a little house on the plantation. So maybe it was their grandchild? Miguel, no. No, his name wasn't Miguel. He had a funny name. He was named after a cat.
Cat? You mean, like, Felix?
That's it! Felix Rodriguez.
Well, I wonder how many Rodriguezes there are in Costa Rica.
A couple.
Well, at least it's a start.
You want to find Felix?
Yeah.
How will you do that?
Well, I can ask Nina to talk to people who still live near the plantation. Who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky.
That'd be a change.
It's late at night. Half the world is asleep. The other half is out prowling, or howling.
What the heck is that? Those howler monkeys. What time is it? Oh, it's 3:15. Why am I awake? Well, Jack, it's because you got up at 3 a.m. last night. Ugh. Oh, but there's a law against shooting monkeys here. Probably. Well, I can make myself some coffee, I guess, so if I do get back to sleep when I wake up, I'll hit the floor running. The door to Amy's room is open. Is she in there? Amy? No. Maybe she went outside to throw rocks at that damn thing.
The moon is up, full and bright, as Jack makes his way down the steps and out onto the beach. He can see footprints in the wet sand.
Tide is out. It looks like she walked toward the rocks over there. It looks like she's headed toward Cathedral Point. Uh-oh. I think the tide is turning, beginning to creep back in. I better hurry up. I don't want to get trapped on the ocean side of these rocks. The tide's really coming in now, beginning to wipe out her tracks. I better scramble up these rocks before I end up getting battered against them. There's another beach over here. A little sandy crescent beach. There she is. And I see the light. Yeah, the light Fandango. I wonder, does the light see me? Mojo is right. The light is different. It's changing shape as it pulsates. It's hovering right in front of her. Did she follow it here? Is she in a trance? I can't tell. I'm not going to disturb her, though. I'll just let her be. It's interesting the way it pulsates. Mojo may be right. It may be a code. Could be sending a message. She could be receiving it on some subliminal level. It's hard to stay awake. Is it because of the light? Why don't I just sit down on the sand here and watch the light do its fandango? I guess I'll just sit here and wait.
The warm night. The soft breeze, the gentle waves, the rhythmic pulsating of the light. and Jack gradually drifts off. If he has any dreams, he doesn't remember.
Jack? Good morning.
Why?
Did you sleep well?
Oh, that light. Where did that sun come from?
From out of the ocean.
Ah, I don't suppose you could turn it down a little.
It's morning.
I like this mattress.
Why are you here?
Oh, I like to spend moonlit nights stretched out on the cool sand, except this sand is starting to get hot.
You followed me?
No, just your footprints. You happen to have a cup of coffee on you?
Well, there's a cantina back there. They'll be opening in a couple of hours.
Oh, great. Well, I remember I followed your footprints, and I found you sitting here staring at the light.
And what happened?
What happened to me?
Mm-hmm.
I fell asleep. What happened to you?
I think I met myself.
Where? In the light?
Yes.
You mean the light turned into you?
No, but I had a conversation with myself.
Yeah?
I saw that I wasn't who I thought I was.
Well, who were you? Who are you?
I lived in France and Brazil and Mexico, and now I live here. Mm-hmm.
But didn't you actually live in those countries?
Not all of them, no.
This wasn't a past life thing.
No, it's another life.
You mean a light that's happening parallel to this one?
I think so.
And what exactly is this light fandango?
I think it's something that moves back and forth between my two selves.
So you also exist on a parallel dimension?
No, I didn't say that.
Are you saying that you have another self somewhere here in Costa Rica?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Jack, do you think that's who you saw?
At the plantation. Well, she sure looked like you.
I want to go back there with you.
Okay, but first, I want to take a bath.
Well, there's your tub.
Okay, I guess I'll go rub-a-dub-dub.
Hi, Mojo.
Good morning.
Did the two of you go out for an early walk?
Oh, yes. Very early.
Nina's here.
Really?
She came over to make us an authentic Tico breakfast.
Oh, is she in the kitchen?
That's right.
Hey, Nina! Oh,
Nina, are you all right?
No, damn it. I pour hot oil on my hand. I can't believe it.
Oh, my God. How did that happen?
The damn pan slipped. Look at this. I'm going to be scarred for life.
Mojo, what do you have for burns?
Wait, I'll get something.
Here, let me.
What are you doing?
Just let me hold your hand.
Look, maybe we better get a doctor.
No, wait.
Ow, this really hurts.
Oh, please.
Amy, I think we should call an ambulance.
Jack.
What?
Let her be.
Okay, sure.
How does it feel now?
It stopped hurting.
Look at her hand. That burn is almost gone.
Oh, my God. Amy, how did you learn this?
It's just something I can do.
You're a healer?
No.
Someone taught you how to do this?
No, I just... Can we not talk about it?
You are a natural healer.
Please, okay?
Okay.
Amy...
Not now. Not
now.
Later that afternoon, Jack and Mojo finally have a chance to discuss the events of that morning.
Mojo, what do you think?
She's got the power.
You didn't see a light around her, did you?
No, there was no light. What she did came from her. My guess is Amy's always been able to heal.
Yeah, but why was she so testy about it?
It may be that she'll have to pay in some way.
You mean she takes the pain into herself?
Well, for some healers, you know, they're instruments of God. Some just shake it off, throw it away.
Yeah, but what if you actually take the pain into yourself?
No, you don't want to hold it. Like people who are psychics, a lot of them are, well, they're overweight because of what they take in. doesn't all pass on out.
Are you saying that psychic energy can be like junk food?
Oh, yeah. Kentucky Fried.
Yeah, but that's not Amy.
Amy, she has a natural feel. She has that special touch.
Hmm. How did she heal Nina?
Seems to me she had one hand resting on that burn and the other reaching out to God.
You mean she was praying?
Well, maybe something like that.
She won't talk about it.
I think her friend, the Light Pandango, has something to do with this.
You mean with the healing?
No, no. Something to do with the fact that she knows how to heal.
I want to go to the plantation. Will you both come with me?
Sure.
Jack?
Of course.
Where's Nina?
She's been gone since this morning.
Is she all right?
Oh, yeah. She's just fine now.
Nina's doing something for me. She won't be back for a while.
Well, can we go now?
Yeah, sure. Let's go.
Jack, Mojo, and Amy drive out to the old abandoned banana plantation where Amy lived as a child. They pull into the weed-infested drive. Before them is the weather-stained mansion, sagging, barely holding itself upright.
Well, the old hacienda is still hanging in there.
I can't believe it's still here.
You know, you mentioned a marker that may have been your sister's.
I wouldn't know where to look. It's all changed. Everything's overgrown.
This is interesting. Someone's been here since we were out here. They nailed up a sign.
Yeah, what? Trespassers will be shot?
No, but close.
Privado, quédese afuera. This is private. Stay out.
Well, shall we go in?
Is it safe?
Barely. Is that your cell phone?
I left it back in the car.
Hello? Yeah, it's Mojo. That's good. Okay, where? Wait, let me find something to write with. Okay, go ahead. I got that. Right. What? Yeah, maybe an hour and a half from here. Okay, see you then.
Mojo, was that Nina?
Huh. She found Felix Rodriguez.
The boy that Amy used to play with.
The same.
Where'd you find him?
San Ramon. I got directions. She's there now.
I'll get Amy.
Did you find anything in there?
Oh, just some faded memories. There were secret places I would hide in. I remember wishing I had a mother.
Your father never remarried.
No.
Amy, how long have you been able to heal people?
Oh, Jack.
No, listen. This is important.
That's a fine gift you have.
I've told you, I've always been able to heal. Well, heal some things. Certainly not relationships.
But you didn't want anyone to know. Why?
I didn't want to be like my mother. She was a bit of a witch.
Which kind of witch?
Well, according to my father, she was both, starting with a B and a W.
When you were a little girl, did anyone know about your being able to heal?
Yeah. Did your father know?
I tried to hide it from him. I think Maria knew and Jose. Maybe my mother.
Your mother knew?
No, I think she knew how to heal with medicinal plants.
How do you know this?
Jose. When we were on walks, he'd pick different plants and he'd tell me how my mother would use them.
She used the plants for remedies, to cure illnesses.
That's what Jose said. That was our little secret because my father forbid him to speak about my mother.
Wait a minute. I just realized something. That woman I saw, the one who looked like you, she had been picking what I thought were weeds, but now I'm wondering if they weren't herbs.
You didn't tell me this.
Well, maybe they were weeds.
No, there are herbs still growing back there.
They say the most powerful medicinal plants are weeds. So, you never know.
San Ramon is a town about an hour and a half west of San Jose. Small town located just off Highway 1 and is known as the center of cigar production. If you drive along with your window down, you just might get a whiff of that rich Costa Rican pastime. Puffing on a fine, hand-rolled cigar. It's a tan our friend Little Frida would definitely enjoy. But Jack, Mojo, and Amy have other thoughts on their mind as they pass through town, turn onto a dirt lane, and pull up in front of a neat one-story house surrounded by the colors of all sorts of brilliant blooming flowers. Nina is waiting for them. She is smiling. In fact, Jack realizes how beautiful she is. Tanned, healthy, radiant, standing there with flowers in her hair. She fits right in, as though she were one of the exotic flowers. As they roll to a stop, a handsome man steps out of the house and approaches the car.
Amy, Jack, Mojo, this is Felix.
Hola.
How you doing?
Glad to meet you, Felix.
Do you remember me?
I remember Amy, the little gringo girl.
Oh, that was so long ago. But do you remember my mother?
No. But my grandfather, he often spoke of your mother.
I knew nothing about her.
Your father, he never told you?
No, never. He wouldn't talk about her. All I know is that she was Costa Rican.
She was, how you say, a wild woman.
Wild? You mean many lovers, many men?
No. My grandfather said she was strong-headed. She and your father did not get on well. He was, a manager for the Banana Kings. But he could not manage her.
She left us right after I was born. Why did she leave?
My grandfather said she could not live with your father anymore. She wanted to be free. So she take your sister and in the night, she leave. And your father say, good riddance. And he tell my grandfather, you never speak of her again.
You said she took my sister?
Yes. In the night, they leave.
I don't have a sister.
Your mother, she must leave you, but she take your sister.
What sister?
Your sister, you know.
No, I don't.
You don't know you have a sister?
What sister?
¿Ella no sabe que tiene una hermana gemela?
¿Ella tiene una hermana gemela?
Sí, vos no lo sabes.
Sí, yo sabía, pero no sabía que estaba viva.
Wait, I can't follow.
Your twin.
My twin sister?
Yes.
She died.
When?
You mean my twin sister was still alive?
Yes.
She didn't die at birth?
No.
And when my mother left, she took my twin sister and left me?
Yes.
Well, why did she leave me behind?
I think because your father, he would not allow your mother to take you both.
Oh, God. Oh, my. Well, when did my sister die?
Your sister? She died?
Yes, I mean, she's not alive.
No?
Is she?
Se le murió la hermana.
Ay, a mí no me pregunte, yo no sé.
What are you saying?
I think yes.
Yes, what?
I think she is okay.
She's alive?
Yes.
Have you seen her?
Of course.
When did you last see her?
2-3 months ago.
In Costa Rica?
She lives here.
I can't believe this.
It is true, I swear.
No, I believe you. This is too much.
She is like you.
What's that?
You are like reflections.
We look identical?
Yes. Close, almost. Emily. Her hair is much more long.
Oh, her name is Emily?
Yes.
She's lived here all her life?
No. She lived many places. But maybe 2 years ago, she's called back to Costa Rica. She find me, and we talk.
2 years ago?
Felix, you said she was called back to Costa Rica?
Yes. She said she had to come home.
Why didn't she try to find me? If I knew that she was alive, I would have looked all over the world for her.
Your father, he tell her you are dead.
What? When did he say that?
She find him, they talk on the telephone, and he does not want anything to do with her. And he tell her you no longer alive.
My father? He actually said that?
Yes. That is what Emily say to me.
Felix, did Emily ever tell you about seeing a strange light?
Oh, I know what you are saying. How do you know this?
Because there's a light that appears around Amy at times.
Really? Both sisters.
Does Emily know what it is?
It is from their mother.
From their mother?
Their mother. She was a medicine woman.
Curandera?
Yes, but much more. They say she was also a bruja.
A bruja? Ooh.
A bruja?
A witch or a sorceress.
My mother? Not a real witch.
Oh, yes. Very real.
Oh, my God.
She was from Escazú.
What is Escazú?
Escazú is called the witch capital of Costa Rica.
There are many witches in Escazú. All are women.
My mother was a witch?
A bruja.
Yeah, right.
And the light, it is, how you say, phenomenal? Your mother, she conjure, she create, she make the light.
How do you know this?
When you talk to Emily, she will tell you. She knows everything.
Felix, is Emily also a medicine woman?
Si. She is a medicine woman. But bruja, no.
No bruja.
No bruja.
Where does my sister live?
Salcedo.
Salcedo?
That's about an hour north of San Ramon.
Very nice. Very pretty.
An hour away? I can't believe this.
Well, I've been wanting to see what they call the Central Highlands.
Amy, are you now ready to meet your sister?
Oh, boy. I don't know. I guess. Wow.
And so Nina and Amy climb in one car, Jack and Mojo in the other, and they drive up the winding mountain road to the town of Salcedo.
So that was her sister I saw out at the plantation.
Mm-hmm. Looks that way.
I wonder how that Doña Fernandez in Puerto Limón could be so wrong about Amy.
How do you know she was wrong?
Well, she told Amy to stay away from men. She said that light was a jealous lover from some past life. Now, that's a little off the mark, wouldn't you say?
Well, that old curandera probably saw Amy was a healer. And she may have felt that her to be really special. She may have to stay away from men.
Yeah, and what about the jealous lover?
Maybe she used that as a temporary distraction.
Well, how about your buddy, Chango? Where does he fit in?
She may have used him to clear things, crack some lightning, roll some thunder. And then maybe she called in someone like Babalu Aye.
Desi Arnaz.
Remember, Babalu Aye is the orisha that cures and causes illnesses.
I don't know, Mojo.
That old woman did tell Nina that Amy had a reflection.
Yeah, okay, but what about that light being a code?
It was. We just never broke it.
Yeah, right.
How about that mother of Amy's, the bruja? Man, she must have been something else.
So was the whole family by the sounds of it. You know, Mojo, I think you better watch out for these Costa Rican women.
Oh, I'm watching out, but I don't know about you, man.
What do you mean?
When we drove up and Nina was standing there, you were looking at her like she was some kind of exotic butterfly that you wouldn't mind adding to your collection.
Mojo, that is not my style. You know that.
Yeah. No, not you, Jack. No way.
I mean, she did remind me of an exotic flower or bird or maybe a butterfly.
The drive from San Ramon is as lovely as a fairy tale. As they enter Salcedo, strangely shaped hedges begin to appear. It seems that every shrub and bush has been sculptured in some sort of bizarre, fanciful shape. There's a cat riding a motorcycle along the top of the hedge. An elephant with light bulbs for eyes. There's people and animals dancing. There's even a bull ring complete with matador, charging bull, and spectators. And they were all made by sculpting hedges with scissors.
Hey, man. Will you look at that?
After much oohing and aahing, they reach their destination. Nina comes to a stop just beyond the church with its topiary park filled with wonders.
Well, I guess this is it.
Look, there she is.
Oh, my God. Jack, she's just as you described her.
Well, it was easy enough. She is your identical twin.
Amy? Is that you? Emily? Oh, I can't believe this. Let me look at you. Oh, my. It is like a mirror I am looking into. All my life, I've felt that part of me was torn away. That was you. I know. I too have felt that way. But please, your friends, do they want to come in?
Oh, no, that's all right. We'll leave the two of you. We can come back for Amy later.
Okay, muchas gracias. Amy, tell me, are you also a healer? Oh, we have a lot of things to talk about, especially our mother. See you later, guys.
Ciao.
Adios.
Hasta pronto.
And so, once again, back in Manuel Antonio.
Well, here's to success.
To success.
What successes are you hearing to?
The conclusion.
That's what makes you think anything ever gets concluded.
You mean the song is ended, but...
the melody lingers on?
You all know what I mean.
I would still love to know just what the heck was that light fandango.
What did you think, Mojo?
Well, if Felix is right, it's something their mother conjured up.
But why did she do that?
Maybe it was to bring Amy and Emily together.
Well, it took them long enough to find each other.
Their father didn't help matters.
If those two women combine their talents, they're going to be two very powerful healers.
So you think the light fandango will now leave them alone?
Or maybe it will assist them. Maybe that's what it wanted to do all along.
And maybe now they'll finally be able to have a peaceful and lasting relationship with a man.
Nina, how many women do you know that have lasting, let alone peaceful, relationships with men?
Oh, come on.
You're dreaming, Nina.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you two are so bad.
Wait, don't include Mojo.
Okay, I'll admit, it's a nice dream.
Thank you.
Of course, everything's a dream.
And whose dream are we in now?
We never know. Maybe our own. Maybe one day we'll all just raise our arms and flutter away on the wings of butterfly dreams.
From our outside, had no halo, had no father, with a coat of many colors. He spoke of brothers many, wine and women, song of plenty. He began to write a chapter in his story. Nice and sleazy, nice and sleazy does it. Nice and sleazy does it. Nice and sleazy does it. Does it every time.
Watt from Pedro Show. That was the Rent Boys.
Girl.
Yeah, with the girl singing. A Misfits song, Astro Zombies. Very bizarre. Trippy. Mandolin, banjo. Glenn Zang, Danzig would be proud. Before that, we had Nice and Sleazy by Strangers. Nanny, you picked that one. And we start off with part four, the conclusion of Dreams of the Blue Morpho, Jack Flanders once more. zapped into another venture land. We'll be back after tour with another one of his self-realized freak-out trip learning experience adventures. Roll?
What's up?
Where'd you get that bike?
I got it from the Salvation Army, I think.
Yeah, did you paint it?
No, I can't like that.
Nice shade of pink. Oh, it's salmon. Puce.
I'd rather call it pink.
Puce. Remember, we did that cover to Politics of Time.
Yeah.
And then the printing guy told me it was Puce.
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 I love
it. D. Boone did that cover on a garbage bag, a grocery bag, a brown grocery bag. Yeah, just with a magic marker on there. I was like, because I didn't know how I was going to photograph. I mean, it is dark brown with black, but it came out okay. And then, see, in those days, it cost $1,000. Well, probably still cost a lot of money, but he didn't have it. So to have color, full color, you needed to make separations. They were like $1,000. So you needed a, was it cyan?
Yeah, magenta.
Magenta.
And yellow.
Yeah. You had to, you get all the colors from those four colors. So we all of our New Alliance stuff was two-color stuff because all you needed was a simple negative. So we just run down all the colors so we wouldn't repeat ourselves, you know. So, okay, let's make this one puce and green. And that typewriter, I used that same typewriter for all the credits and stuff. That was a trip. New Alliance. We ended up putting out first Husker Du album, first three Descendant albums. I think Billy told me they're doing a new Descendant album right now.
It's already out.
Really?
Well, they did that one American.
Yeah.
But that was like half a year ago.
No, no. I think they're working on another one. I think so. Billy told me he wanted to move back to Cali. He asked me what town. You know, he's from Redondo Beach, but he's asking, what would be a good town to live in? And I said, I don't know. I like living by the water. And he goes, what do you think of Burbank?
Oh, man. There you go.
You know, Billy was a fisherman and he's going to move to Burbank. Right next to the airport, you know. That nice, you know, moist southeast corner of the valley. Jesus.
I can't.
I remember when he moved out there. First, they found a little town in Missouri because the idea was, well, you go to tour all the time. Why not live in the middle of the country? So all points are close. But, yeah, I guess, I don't know, winter, you know, things like this. He told me the first time he went to the bar in the town. Hey, you know. They get a beer and they're there, and some locals say, hey, where are you from? You know, oh, California. Oh, yeah? I hear two things come from California. Yeah, it wasn't the welcome wagon. It wasn't the welcome wagon. So I think Billy wants to move back. He's got a little family now and stuff. You know, the first gig of theirs was here in Pedro.
Descendants?
Yeah. It was Reactionaries played and Black Flag and the Plugs. Or was it the Alley Cats? Either the Alley Cats or the Plugs. It was over here on Mesa, maybe Santa Cruz or something. There was a team post. It's like four apartments now. But that was their first gig, and Billy had broke his shoulder. Collarbone or shoulder blade or something. He's in a cast. He's 15 years old. It's trippy. They didn't have Milo. They were just three-piece. Frank was playing in his fishing boots. Tony the mailman on bass. Trippy band. Keith was a singer of Black Flag now. Somebody told me Dezza was just in town. He's visiting. He lives in Brooklyn now, but he was back visiting.
I've seen him a long time.
And, yeah, he was supposed to go to that P-Funk gig that me and Raymond went to last week, but we didn't see him. He was in Misfits for a while.
I don't know if he still is or what the deal is.
Well, no, Glenn Danzig, right? It was like Jerry and... Yeah, I think Doyle wasn't even in it. I think it was just Jerry and just other people and Dezo. Robo, too, for a little bit. Some strange... Yeah, it was some strange thing. I never got to see it. Jerry Only, an interesting bass player, you know, had four strings, but they were like two and two, the same two, you know.
He had two strings.
E-A-E-A. No, so he could move when he broke one. He used to break this thing.
Yeah, so you'd have another set, right?
Yeah. He used to smash it and glue it back. Yeah, strange band, but a good band. That was a strange tape. Yeah. Somebody told me Danzig just made a new album. There's a new Danzig album. Biscuit joined that band for a while. It's like on top of a big goat head or something. Stage prop.
Drum set spinning.
Yeah, you hear this, it's a kind of a younger band from Sacramento called Hella.
I heard of Hella.
Yeah. Well, we played with them back in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that, Pete?
Oh, that first band that went on before? It's the first or the second? When we played in Sacramento.
Was it the first band or the second band?
I don't know. I think I was asleep.
I think both of us were asleep, man.
Well, anyway, here's something from their new record. So I guess you can't sing along with this thing. Hella, Watt for Pedro show with City Folk. We'll be right back. What from Pedro Show? That was Garbage Island with Space Poodle, the Jazz Wonderland Dude. Before that, Be Around Anymore, anyway. That's Transylvania Death Express.
That's a bummed out.
And before that was City Folk by Hella. Well, we're coming to the end of another edition of Watt for Pedro Show, the Before Tour Show for the El Mar Curatoto Tour 2004. Keep your powder dry.